Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment. Good morning. It's nice to see y'all today, and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. If you're joining us here in the sanctuary, and a special welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this morning online. I'm Hammett Evans, the senior pastor, and we're so thrilled to have you in worship with us on this Trinity Sunday. Today is the day when we celebrate that we encounter God as three in one, that mystery and that paradox. And I'll be sharing more about that later on in our service. I do want to encourage you to sign in. There are a couple of ways to do that. If you're worshiping online, you can scan the QR code on your screen. There is also a QR code on the back of your bulletin today, but last week we introduced a new thing. And so if you take out your bulletin, I'm going to do this about 3 weeks in a row so everybody hears it. If you open up your bulletin, there's a little tab there on the right, and it says Connect up at the top. And if you would, just take a pencil or a pen, and you can complete that information for yourself and for your family. There are also some options there if you'd like to become a part of our church family. You can let us know that, and either Nick or I will be in touch with you. Today, on the back of the Connect tab, you have a place where you can sign up to volunteer for Vacation Bible School. We still need a lot of volunteers to pull that off. It's coming up in just a couple of weeks. And then finally, on the bottom of the Connect tab on the back, there's a place where you can list prayer concerns to be listed in our worship and in our things you need to know email every week. Speaking of our kids, we are in the wonderful position of needing to provide more child care. Amen and hallelujah. Amen? And so to do that, we need volunteers. And if you would like to help with that, be sure and check your things email. There's more detail in there about that. But be sure and talk with Nicole Rose or shoot her an email, get in touch with her, and let her know that you are available for that. As I mentioned, Vacation Bible School is coming up, and you have that opportunity to volunteer on the back of the Connect tab today. It is a beautiful day. It's a little hot. I got a little sweaty coming in this morning, unloading all my stuff from the car. But it is a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day, and it's a great day to celebrate that we encounter God as three in one. Let's celebrate the good news.
Thank you. morning. I'm Vicki Logan, and I'll be serving as your liturgist this morning. I invite you at this time to stand as you are able and join in the responsive call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. To you, O people, wisdom calls. She calls out to each of us, beckoning us to experience peace in Christ, hearkening us to discover the truth of life, imploring us to know true love as it is poured into our heart. Wisdom calls. Let us answer her call as we celebrate faith in the one who leads us into life. Our hymn of praise this morning is Holy, 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 number 64 in your hymnal. Remain standing as we join our hearts and voices in prayer. We thank you, O Lord, for giving us love and peace through your Son, Christ Jesus, for offering us the key to all spiritual knowledge through your Holy Spirit. To those who are in the midst of life's problems, grant your wisdom and insight from above. To those who are burdened with anxiety and fear, offer your wise assurance in times of need. To those facing decisions about family or career, bless them with your wisdom on high. To those entering a new chapter in their lives, be it the birth of children, taking a new job, finding a place to live, or entering retirement. Guide them on the proper path and bless them with a sense of peace. This we pray in the name and wisdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Into a time of prayer. I do want to note that you may notice that Brother Nick is away. He has taken some of our youth to Alabama for a mission trip this week, and so we want to keep them in our prayers. And I'm going to mention this and mention her in a moment, but my dear friend Avanel Johnson passed away yesterday. Avanel was only 100 years old, and she was a member at Damascus United Methodist Church when I was a student local pastor. And no matter how bad, however bad a pastor I am, it is not Avanel's fault. Amen. She did her best with what she was working with. But I want to invite you to be in prayer for her family as they experience their loss. But what a good life she lived. I may even share a story in a week. I think it may fit. But let us go to God in prayer.
God, we do thank you for being with us today through the power of your Holy Spirit and the love of your Son. We pray now that you will fill this place with your Spirit so that we experience you as Creator, as Redeemer, and as Sustainer. God, we lift up your church. We pray that you will give us the ability and the courage that we need to be for your people and to serve you in our community. Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus by giving us your Holy Spirit. And God, we lift up the concerns of the world. We are broken by violence, by warfare, by inner divisions, both politically and in our faith. And so, God, we pray that you will send the Prince of Peace once again among us. Help us to have cool heads and warm hearts so that we may treat one another with dignity and respect, even in the midst of our disagreements. God, we also lift up those who are ill, those who are in special need of your grace and of your healing power. Today we lift up the youth who are on our mission trip and the adults who are chaperoning them on their way to Alabama. God, we also lift up foster children in Arkansas who are awaiting adoption. We lift up the members of our church family who are ill or in special need, Clifford Smith and June Glazier, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Megan Arnold, Patty Shoemaker, Joyce Dennis, Doug Chenault, Lanny Langley, Jean Hammett, Barbara Mills, and others whom we name before you in our hearts. And God, finally, we lift up ourselves. We pray that you will remind us that we are created in your image, in the image of our Creator, that you redeemed us through the life and teachings and death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, and you empower us through your Holy Spirit to serve as he served in your world as you seek to redeem all of creation. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today, as we celebrate God's gift to us in God's presence and God's power through being the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, we remember that God is a giving God. And because we are created in God's image, we are created to give generously as well. And in that spirit, I invite you to support Asbury through your gifts today. If you're joining us online, there's a QR code on your screen that you can scan for online giving options. Those are also available to us who are worshiping in the sanctuary today. You may also give in the offering plate as well if you prefer that. But let's go to God in prayer. God, we do thank you for being who you are. You are a God beyond our understanding, beyond our imagination. One thing that we do know about you because of who Jesus was and what he did is that you are a giver. And as we seek and strive to become more like him, we pray that you will empower us to give generously. God, bless these gifts which we offer to you out of our love for you and the hope that you will use them to grow your kingdom right here in Little Rock and far beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen.
Thank you.
Be seated. Now it's time to invite all of our children to come forward and meet down front with Miss Nicole.
Good morning. How are y'all? Good? Okay, well, I have a question for you, and I know you're on summer break, but you might have to kind of think about school for just a minute. Can you think of a word that starts with the letters T-R-I? Those are the first three letters in the word. Can you think of a word? You need a hint? I know we're summer. I know we're on summer break. What about, is there a shape? Can you think of a shape? A triangle? Tricycle? Anyone know a dinosaur that starts with those three letters? Triceratops? What do all those words have in common? They all start with T-R-I. And then when a word starts with T-R-I, that means that it has something to do with a number, the number three. So how many sides does a triangle have? How many wheels does a tricycle have? How many horns does a triceratops have? Three. That's right. That's right. Well, there's another word that we're going to talk about today, and the word is Trinity, and that word also starts with the letters T-R-I. So that means that word has something to do with the number three. Does anyone know what three things or three pieces make up the Holy Trinity? Do you know? We just sang a song that said it. So it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's right. Well, did you know that even for grown-ups, it's hard to wrap our head around the Trinity because it's three things, but it all comes together to make one God. And that's kind of hard for us to wrap our heads around. So I have something we're going to make today. I was trying to think of something that was three things, but then when we put it together, it would make one thing that we all know what that is. Do y'all know what a s'more is? Do you know what a s'more? I think we all know. If not, I will give you one. But I'm going to have you help me. Will you help me? Okay. So we're going to build it on this plate. I'm going to get Hannah to help me because I can't really talk and do it. But what is one part of a s'more? There's three parts, remember? Graham cracker. Okay. So I think I have that in my bag. Okay. So you want to start making it? All right, so we've got our graham cracker. That's one piece, right? One separate thing. Then, what else? Chocolate, okay. That's my favorite part, in case anyone was wondering. Okay. And what's the last part? What is it? Marshmallow, that's right. Do you want to put the marshmallow on? Okay. Can you put that on? Perfect. And then what do we have to do to make it a s'more? Put it on top. You want to do it? Okay, so here's our s'more. And, you know, if it was a really good one, we'd toast that marshmallow and get it all nice and warm. But this is a lot easier to understand than the Trinity, okay? I just want to say that. But this is similar. It's three different things, graham cracker, chocolate, marshmallow. But when we put it together, we all know what this is, right? What is it? It's a s'more. Okay, I have one question, and then we'll pray. Who remembers the three parts of the Trinity? You remember one? Father, that's right. The Son. Ira, you got the last one for me? I'll take that as Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, you're tired, me too. Well, let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for being everything we could ever need or want. Thank you for being all things, even when we don't fully understand everything, and that's okay. We love you. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from two New Testament books, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, and John 16, verses 12 through 15. If you like to follow along in the Pew Bible, as I do, you'll notice that it differs a little because I'm reading from the CEB, the Common English Translation of the Bible. Hear now the word of the Lord from Romans. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him. And we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And now from the Gospel of John. I have much more to say to you, but you can't handle it now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He won't speak on his own, but will say whatever he hears and will proclaim to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and proclaim it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That's why I say that the Spirit takes what is mine and will proclaim it to you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Vicki. And good morning again. Welcome to Asbury. We're thankful that you are here. Today is Trinity Sunday, and we celebrate the mystery that God is three in one. Next Sunday is Father's Day, and we're going to kick off a very short series, about a four-week series, in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And it's a very short book, but it is very powerful and challenging. And since it's short, I encourage you to read the whole thing. It's only six little chapters this week, but read the book of Galatians, and it really helps if you read a chapter or two in a very angry voice. But anyway, we'll talk about that more next week. Let's begin today by preparing our hearts in prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us today. And we pray that you will give us your Holy Spirit in this moment so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our redeemer, our rock and our friend. We pray this in Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen. Well, I was thinking about our youth going to Alabama this week, and I'm really hoping that they don't encounter one of those giant hogs they have out there. Do y'all remember that story about 10 or 15 years ago, this young guy shot a 9-foot long hog that weighed a half a ton. And when that happened, a buddy of mine called me and he said, did you hear about this? This kid killed a half-ton hog, 9 feet long. He said it was the head was as big as 2 basketballs. And I was like, no way. And I kind of pictured this big pig in my mind. But I have to say that my mind did not do that pig justice. When I saw the photograph, I realized that pig was bigger than my imagination. Amen? And today is Trinity Sunday, and it's the day when we celebrate the mystery that God is bigger than we can imagine. God is bigger than our understanding. We cannot pigeonhole God or put God in a box because God is beyond description, beyond our imagination. Now, our beliefs about the Trinity are rooted in Scripture. We read Vicki just read one of those scriptures a moment ago. And then later on in the early church councils, they refined those beliefs. Now, there's an old proverb you might have heard, good fences make good neighbors. And you can think of those early councils as, like the Council of Nicaea and the Council of Chalcedon, as fence building. Our ancient Christian brothers and sisters were setting the boundaries for belief. Now, why would they do that? Why would they need to do that? Why would they care? Well, the answer is people were trying to make God easy to understand. And it's tempting, isn't it? Back then, there was one group of people who said that God was just one God. And that's that. They said that Jesus and the Spirit were just God the Creator in different forms. You can imagine those Eddie Murphy or Tyler Perry movies where he plays all the characters. Now, that's called modalism. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the same God in different modes or forms. So if you've ever, and I'm so glad that Nicole didn't do this, I've never heard the metaphor of a s'more used for the Trinity, and I think that was a pretty good metaphor. Or would it be a meta-s'more? Anyway, sorry. Groan. Anyway, if you've ever explained the Trinity by comparing God to water, the way that water comes in different forms, liquid, solid, and gas, that's modalism too, and I've done that, and that's a heresy. We'll come back to that in just a second. Other people tried to make God easy to understand by saying that God the Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were three gods. This is kind of like the Roman and Greek pantheons, three different gods. Like some of them believe that, like Zeus, the Creator was the boss god, was in charge, and Jesus' Son was below him, and then below that was the Holy Spirit. Now, believing that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three separate gods is called tritheism, and believing that they're ranked like that is called subordinationism, and we'll come back to that in just a few minutes. So on the one side, you had people saying God was one God, and on the other side, you had folks saying, no, God is three gods. So when the church has faced difficult decisions like this, they always made the most difficult choice. So let me ask you, is God one or three? What's the answer? The answer is yes. Whoever said that down here, you just passed basic Christian theology. Congratulations, pat yourself on the back. So when I was in seminary, a long time ago, I served a rural United Methodist Church in Mount Zion, Georgia. Lovely folks there. One of the members was a good friend named John. And back then, I was driving 60 miles to seminary and back every day, just on the road all the time. And so every time we would say goodbye to each other, John would look at me and say, keep it between the ditches, preacher. And I thought that was pretty good advice for somebody that was driving that much. But it's also good advice when you're talking about God. Keep it between the ditches. You see, when you get out of the middle, you fall into what the ditch that we call heresy. Now, heresy has come to mean something like anything that somebody else believes that you don't agree with. Amen? But that's not the original meaning of the word. Heresis, which is the root of heresy, our word heresy, was simply a process in which young people would explore which philosophy would guide their life. Now, for me, that was college. So saying that something is heresy simply means that somebody has a little more exploring to do. They don't have the complete answer yet. But here's the trick, and this is what we forget more often than not. Because God is beyond our imagination, all of us are heretics to one degree or another. We are all still exploring. It also helps to remember that heresy or false belief is false because it is only partially true. I'm going to say that again. Heresy is false because it is only partially true. So-called heretics fall into one of the ditches by making an easy choice. So orthodoxy, or right belief, finds a middle way, even when that means affirming a paradox or a mystery. So by building these fences and by making the most difficult choice, the ancient Christians were trying to teach us that God is beyond our imagination, our understanding, our comprehension. Now, unfortunately, if you know Christian history, you know that while good fences make good neighbors, they do not always make good Christians. The history of Orthodox Christianity is stained with the blood of heretics. That's why we cannot separate orthodoxy, which is right belief, from orthopathy, which is right compassion. You may remember in 1 Corinthians 13, at the end of that chapter, Paul says, you can understand all the mysteries, and you can know everything, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. And that's what's so heartbreaking to me about the current situation in our denomination. Over the last few years, I have seen so little love and so much mean-spiritedness and venom. Now, the most egregious example of that was in 2019 when the Special Call General Conference of the United Methodist Church ended with people on opposite sides calling each other bigots and abominations from the floor of General Conference. It broke my heart. As I watched and listened to that, I said, that is not the United Methodist Church that I know and I love. So just a few weeks later, I offered to serve on the Arkansas Conference delegation to General Conference and Jurisdictional Conference. I really didn't expect to get elected, but I was. God help me. Most of us who serve on the current delegation are committed to what John Farthing, my Methodist history professor at Hendricks College, used to call a big tent United Methodist Church. Now that is a church, a big tent church is where conservatives, centrists, and progressives are all welcomed and valued and may live out their calling together. It's a church where people who disagree with one another can still worship together and can still serve Christ together. It's a church where, as John Wesley wrote, as to all opinions which do not strike at the root of Christianity, we think and let think. We think and let think. The term for that is theological pluralism. We think and let think. And friends, there is a difference between theological pluralism and religious pluralism. Religious pluralism sees Jesus as one God of many gods. But theological pluralism simply understands that people see Jesus and understand Jesus in a variety of ways, and that's okay. Amen? It's a church that truly believes and celebrates that all people are created in God's image with sacred value and sacred worth. All of us are broken by sin, to be sure. And yet all of us are being saved by God's grace and equipped to serve by the Holy Spirit in Christ's church. And that includes people in the LGBTQ plus community as well as you and me. With the launch of a new staunchly conservative denomination, the mean-spiritedness and venom are on the rise again. And I say that as much as a confession as anything else, because that's in my heart too. Some claim that the impending split is over the issue of biblical authority, but it's not. Part of it is about biblical interpretation. Part of it is about church polity, the way we're organized. And a third part is about church theology. Now, I'm focusing on theology today because we're talking about the Trinity. But if you want to hear the biblical case for inclusion, I encourage you to watch Dr. John Robbins' sermon at Pulaski Heights United Methodist Church from a couple of weeks ago. He makes the case for that side in a very strong way. So I have a colleague, a very close colleague, who was a staunch conservative on LGBTQ plus issues for decades. This person takes the Bible very, very seriously and has spent years, decades, studying it closely. And after digging deeply into those few scripture readings mentioned in the Bible, in conversation with people who agreed with him and some who disagreed with him, this is what he said. He said, "I'm not fully convinced that I've been wrong all these years, but there is enough doubt in my mind now that if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of love and grace." If you don't have love, Paul said, you're nothing. Now, some make the theological claim that those of us who support an inclusive church have what they call a low Christology. And if you've never been to seminary, and I know most of us haven't, Christology is simply about who Jesus is and what Jesus did. It's how we understand and flesh out our profession of faith when we say Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, saying my high Christology is better than your low Christology simply shows that you have a very limited understanding of Christology. And here is why. A high Christology simply means that you have an understanding of Jesus that begins from above. It begins by recognizing that Jesus is Lord, fully divine, true God of true God, light from light, eternal, Son of the Father, begotten, not created, the pre-existent divine Logos through whom all of creation came into being. That's how a high Christology begins. A low Christology, by contrast, is an understanding of who Jesus is and what he did that begins from below. It begins by recognizing that Jesus was fully human. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger. He wept. He prayed and preached and taught. He welcomed outsiders and outcasts. And he stood against those who exclude others. And he offered a perfect example for what it means to be human by suffering, dying on the cross. But friends, here's the mystery and the paradox. Jesus was never more human than when he was on the cross. And yet at the same time, Jesus was never more divine. Jesus' actions as a human being simply reveal to us who God is in eternity. It is because Jesus is fully divine that we are about the things that he was about in his earthly life. Salvation is only possible if Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. So friends, do United Methodists have a high Christology or a low Christology? The answer is yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because to have one or the other would fall into heresy. You know, sometimes we do a better job treating people outside our denomination than we do with those inside. Many years ago, I got to know some Mormon missionaries through a friend at the church I was serving at the time. I was the associate pastor there, and a common friend put us in touch. Mormons are modern-day tritheistic subordinationists, and that's to say they believe the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three separate gods with the Heavenly Father on top of the other two. So by email, we began sharing our beliefs with one another, and that led to a conversation in the sanctuary at the church one afternoon. One of the elders said something in that meeting that I will never forget. He said, "Brother Hammett, people from other churches don't treat us very well. They roll down their windows, they yell at us, they curse at us, they call us names. And sometimes when we're walking or riding our bikes, they have driven by us and thrown Coke cans at us and food and trash." He said, "You Methodists are different. You're nice to us. You talk to us. You even let us come to your worship services. You invite us to your potluck dinners." He said, "Why? Why is that?" And I said, "It was because we believe, as United Methodists, that God wants us to love people even when we strongly disagree with their beliefs. That is really keeping it between the ditches." So what does the doctrine of the Trinity say? Well, we're going to read it in just a moment when we recite the Nicene Creed together, which is one of those fences the early church built. And I could use a lot of good words that a lot of good people paid a lot of good money for me to learn in a good seminary. I could explain to you the difference between the economic Trinity and the immanent Trinity. And I could tell you that what we believe is that there is one God in essence, homoousios in Greek, and yet in three co-eternal persons, that's hypostases in Greek. The only difference is in origin. The Father is ungenerated, the Son is generated from the Father, and the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, unless you are Greek Orthodox, in which case you believe that the Spirit proceeds from the Father but not the Son. And that is to say that within the Godhead there is neither subordination, modalism, nor tritheism, but threefold equal differentiation. And then if you still didn't understand it, I would just say it's a mystery, just accept it. Amen? Y'all just got like a semester's worth of Trinitarian theology right there. But our beliefs about God aren't like the Pythagorean theorem, amen? It's not like a squared plus b squared equals c squared, or that force equals mass times acceleration. The Trinity is not a mathematical postulate. It's a description of the God of our faith, the God of love. You see, for our ancient brothers and sisters in Christ, the Trinity wasn't a matter of the head, it was a matter of the heart. They were asking questions like, how do we pray? To whom do we pray? Whom do we worship? Is it okay to pray to God the Creator? Is it okay to pray to Jesus the Son? Or if I'm praying to Jesus, am I expecting him to go talk to God the Father, who's the real one in charge? Those were the kinds of questions that they were asking. So, can you pray to any of the three? Can you worship any of the three? The answer is yes, right? The Trinity is the story of our faith and of our salvation, and you can see that in the scripture readings we read earlier. God created us in the Creator's own image to love and to serve, but sin messed that up. It interfered with our relationship with God and with one another and kept us from becoming who God created us to be. But Paul says that God did something amazing for us. In verse 1, he writes, "Therefore, having been acquitted and pronounced righteous out of faith, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In the cross, you see, God the Creator shows us that God loves us enough to suffer the loss of the Son. And at the very same time, God the Son shows us that God loves us enough to suffer with us as a brother and to die for us on our behalf and to suffer the loss of the Father. My God, why have you abandoned me? Though we rebelled, God came and made peace with us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul then continues, through whom we also have access to this grace in which we stand and we boast on hope of God's glory. See, through Jesus Christ, God stood each of us on the firm ground of love. God gave us hope to become who God created us to be from the very beginning, to be reflections of God's nature in the world. Paul goes on to say, not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. Like athletes, our suffering gives us endurance, which makes us more like Jesus. Did you ever think of your suffering as making you more like Christ? It doesn't always do that, but it can. Being more like Jesus Christ gives us hope. And Paul says hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God the Spirit joins the love of the Father and of the Son into a unity of grace. The Spirit pours God's love into our hearts, and that love transforms our lives so that we then can transform the world for the better through the power of the Holy Spirit. Until what John Wesley called that great salvation, when all of creation is perfectly restored in God. You see, friends, that is the story of our faith and of our salvation. And that is the true meaning of the Trinity. But you have to live it to believe it. When we look out and we see the beauty of God's creation and we are moved to serve and include others, when we're no longer afraid of being separated from God because we trust in what Jesus Christ did for us, and when our hearts are filled with the love of God and neighbor, the Trinity is at work in us. So just remember this today. Stay inside the fence, and if you meet somebody on the other side, be a good neighbor. They're still exploring too. Keep it between the ditches. And always remember that God is beyond our imagination. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious and loving and redeeming God, we thank you for calling us to be your people, for creating us in your image, and for sending Jesus in the fullness of time to redeem us of our sin. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit present from before the dawn of creation, your presence within the world and within our lives. And we pray that you will empower us through your Holy Spirit to be transformed by your love, that we might come to love others as you first loved us. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. We're going to stand to affirm our faith now through the words of the Nicene Creed. And I don't know about you, it always helps me when I read this to remember that St. Nicholas helped write it. Have anybody ever heard of St. Nicholas? He was present at the Council of Nicaea. He actually got in trouble for punching a heretic in the face, but that's a story for another day. We'll forgive him for that. Let's unite our voices in this historic confession of the Christian faith. One other thing. They were all men. Some of the men who attended the Council of Nicaea had their eyes put out because of their beliefs. And as we read, you may want to remember that. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. At my watch, and I'm sorry, y'all teach the Trinity in 20 minutes or less, amen? I mean, if you want to try it, you're welcome to it. But anyway, I do want to invite you to join our Asbury Church family if you'd like. If you're online, shoot me an email or get in touch. Give a call at the church office, and I'd be happy to talk with you about that. If you'd like to transfer from another United Methodist Church or another Christian denomination, you're welcome to come down on the singing of the last verse of our next hymn. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ, I'd love to talk with you about that as well and prepare you for the sacrament of Christian baptism. I do want to recognize very quickly that we had something happen this week that has never happened to me before. We had a young woman that we've been talking by phone over the last couple of months. She stopped by the church office and she said, "I'm ready to join." She said, we were like, "Have you ever been in Asbury before?" She said, "No, I've been watching online for months." And first time in the building was the day she joined our church family. And so she wasn't able, they were going to be out of town today. You may see her around the church. Her name is Audrey James, and she is a hoot and a half, and you're going to want to get to know her. But she's a teacher over at PA, and be sure and give her a nice, warm welcome. Let's continue worship as we sing our hymn of commitment, "Come Holy Ghost, Our Hearts Inspire."
Oh,
Thank you so much for worshiping with us here at Asbury today. And next Sunday is Father's Day. We want to encourage you to bring dad or granddad out for that. And we'll kick off a brand new series in the book of Galatians. And just a quick reminder to try to read that this week. I do want to say thank you to everyone who prepared the service. Keep everybody in your prayers on our mission trip to Alabama this week. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.